Let me pray for us for a moment. Gracious God, we thank you that all your promises are fulfilled in Jesus. And thank you above all that your promise of the Spirit is poured out upon your people. Generous God, we pray that we might enjoy the grace upon grace that you pour out upon us, and with thankful hearts may share generously with others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God is generous. I mean, isn't that so? And a pen. Oh, good, excellent. It wasn't a rhetorical question, it was a real question. There you go. Amen. Yeah, there you go. It's always good to get an answer to a question. Maybe not the rhetorical ones. And at Pentecost, fundamentally, we celebrate God's generosity. Pentecost is a festival, it's a celebration, always has been. It was originally the harvest festival for God's people, a celebration of God's goodness and what had been given to them through creation. And it's at this scheduled celebration of Pentecost that we see God pouring out his Spirit visibly, publicly, permanently, and universally for the first time in human history. God is generous. It's a great theme of the verses that we heard today from Acts chapter 2. He pours out his Spirit on all people, or literally all flesh, in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. God does not want any to miss out. The sense here, there's more than enough for everybody. There's no lack. He's not going to run out of love. If he gives you lots, somebody else doesn't have to miss out. I like that word for pours out. He pours out his Spirit. And it's a generous word. I always think of times when I'm at a meal, perhaps, with friends. And, you know, and it comes to dessert. And, you know, being British, we try to be polite. And they say, oh, dessert. And they've got this magnificent cake. Perhaps even a pavlova. Oh. And you say, oh, just a sliver. Just a sliver. A tiny bit. Just a taste. And they go, no. And they cut you a great big piece. And inside, I'm cheering, you know, thinking, that's what I really wanted. But God is generous in that kind of a sense. He just doesn't give, a sliver or a little bit or just enough. No, this sense of God pours out. It's a generous word. He does not hold back or compromise or diminish. He expresses his very nature of generosity by pouring out. Well, every spiritual blessing is the language. He gives and he gives, and he gives. It's a shame if sometimes I don't appreciate just how generous God is, or perhaps worse, don't live a life as though I've been touched by this generous God, this Spirit that's poured out upon me. Some people feel Pentecost is like a birthday. The birthday of the church, they say, the day she is born. In a sense, that's true. But the history of God's people goes back a long way before the day of Pentecost. And we see that in the way that Peter explains what's going on. He stands there and he says, you see this, meaning kind of us and what's going on. You see this? Well, this is that. And he points back to the days of the prophet Joel, the words that he quotes in verses 17 to 21. Because the prophet Joel saw God at work through a swarm of locusts. And with the eyes of the prophet, he can see the significance beyond his own days into God's final working out, into the last days, as he now calls them. And Peter says, this here and now is what there is all about. He makes the link between what's happening now and the great story of God dealing with his people throughout the ages. Pentecost is not a new idea. God just suddenly thought, oh yeah, let's do this. No, no. It's the fulfillment of his long-term plan, his gracious purpose to restore humanity. Not quite a birthday celebration, because God's people have been going really rather a long time. Personally, I find the image of a wedding celebration more helpful than a birthday when I think about Pentecost and what God is doing. I like to use the image of a marriage celebration as a lens that we can look through and better understand and experience God's generosity that we celebrate at Pentecost. Because at the heart of every wedding celebration and every marriage is the greatest gift that anyone can ever give or receive. The most precious gift that anyone can ever give or receive is the gift of a person's own self. That's what's at the heart of the marriage service, certainly at least in the Church of England, where I've conducted many hundreds of marriages, almost all I've done have been there, and every marriage service has this at its heart. Now, the service is full of beautiful moments. I cry at weddings. Even when I'm leading them, I try not to. There's the moment that the groom first catches glimpse of the bride about to appear. Oh. The moment the bride and groom just kind of arrive at the front and smile at each other. And I tell them to turn and face each other because they're marrying each other, not me. For me, the most wonderful moment, though, is the point in the service just before the couple give and receive their rings. And they say to each other these words. All that I am, I give to you, and all that I have, I share with you, within the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whoa, that's something. What a gift. All that I am, I give to you, and all that I have, I share with you. Maybe rich or poor. Have much or little in material terms, but it doesn't really matter. It's the fact that it's all of it. That they are giving themselves unreservedly to the other. The most precious gift that anyone can ever give or receive. And this is what God is doing at Pentecost and every day since to those who believe. God pours out his Spirit because in his generous love, he's actually giving us the greatest gift that anyone can give, the gift of his very self to us. Let's appreciate what this means. There's a couple of things I think this means for every Christian believer. The first is we get to know things properly about God and his purposes and who we are. It's a sense of revelation. We get to know how things really are. Acts 2 is full of the sense of revelation of God showing himself. Acts 2 verse 17, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. It's a worrying day when I realized I'd probably moved from the phase of visions into dreaming dreams. But there you go. It's repeated in verse 18, they will prophesy. Now, prophecy here is not primarily about foretelling the future, but it's about understanding the present. It's about forth-telling God's word. It's the gift of knowing what God is saying and doing in the here and now. The Spirit of God enables us to know God truly. Not that we ever know all there is to know about God, that's not possible, but we know God truly and honestly through the gift of his Spirit. And as I mentioned already, we see God's generosity. All people, verse 17, I pour out my Spirit on all people, literally all flesh. And goes to list young and old, sons and daughters, men and women, sense that God's generous love now includes everybody. In the past, he had given his Spirit to special people on special occasions for special purposes. But now this gift of his Spirit and self is open to all who turn to him. Whatever God may or may not give us in terms of blessings or gifts or graces or opportunities or ministries, always remember he gives us the greatest gift of all, which is himself. Now, as we receive this gift, there's two things happen. First, we realize that we don't understand things, at least not properly. Because on the day of Pentecost, people see what's going on. They ask two great questions. Verse 12, what does this mean? And verse 37, what shall we then do? Fabulous questions. Great questions. We admit that we need help to understand what is going on, to understand God, ourselves, the whole deal. A few years ago now, it must be, I remember watching the classic movie Ice Age 2. You've come across it, one of the great movies. And there's a character in it called Ellie the Mammoth. Now Ellie's problem is that she is very large, very hairy, has tusks and a trunk. She is a mammoth, after all. The problem is she thinks she's a possum. And possums are like small mouse squirrely things that hang upside down in trees, at least in the movie. So like a possum, she hangs upside down from the trees. She plays dead, etc., etc. And it's only eventually she realizes this is not reality. This is not how things are. And it is the Spirit of God within us who reveals to us who we really are, whatever we think we are and who we are. And he reveals that we are precious and loved by God, that we have to depend utterly on his grace because we have no other claim on him, that God really has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And as I say, whatever else he may or may not give us in terms of opportunities, ministries, gifts or graces, always remember we get this greatest gift of him all himself. And through that, well, he gives us the eyes to see ourselves as we are through his eyes. Second thing that happens as we realize who we are and all that God's giving himself to us is we change. Our life must change. Verse 38, Peter replied, what should we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To repent is to make that U-turn, a change of mind leading to a change of heart and change of mind and change of life. I can no longer go the way that I am going if I'm going to go God's way. I remember once feeling very smug driving down the I-95 in California, looking at the traffic in the other lane, thinking, I'm glad I'm going that way. And then I suddenly saw the sign, I-95 south. Oh, I thought I was going north. So I looked and thought, I've got to do it. So I had to do the dreaded U-turn. That's what repentance is about, realizing you're not headed the right way, you've got to go that way, however uncomfortable it may seem. Even to go back to my illustration from marriage, I think of times, I love preparing couples for marriage. It's great fun. We get to talk together. And occasionally I get concerned that they aren't taking seriously the changes they will need to make after they're married. I always remember one couple in particular. I asked them in the course of their preparation, just a kind of easy starter question, what things do you think will be different once you're married? And they just kind of looked at me blankly. And I tried to help. Well, how are you planning on spending your time, the things you do together? Oh, no, they said, nothing's really going to change. I'll be going out drinking with my mates on a Saturday, and she'll be going out drinks with her mates on a Friday. I mean, nothing's going to change. Sadly, perhaps, and not surprising, that all did not end well in the long term. Because any significant relationship has to affect us. And most significantly, our relationship with God through his Spirit must affect us. So maybe today, as we celebrate Pentecost, it's a good day to take stock. What are the ways that life needs to change so that we are going with God, that we are keeping in step with his Spirit, not going our own way? What parts of our lives do we tend to keep to ourselves? Do we need to open to God's life, God's Spirit, and God's very self? How am I reflecting God's generosity? Does my generosity of outlook and my generosity of spirit and my generosity in giving of my time and energy and love to others, does it reflect the unbridled generosity of God towards me? It's a great thing to reflect at the moment because so much of life these last year or two has felt about restrictions or kind of lack. You know, we had the very necessary restrictions during the COVID pandemic, the confinement, you know, but it felt really constricting. And now at the minute, the media is full of talks about global shortages, whether it's grain or sunflower oil or petrol or whatever, as a result of the terrible global wars going on. It's a great time to be reminded of the overflowing generosity and provision of God himself. That there's no lack in God. There's no lack in his Spirit as he pours it out on us, his people. It's a great time to be reminded of the overflowing generosity of God, vividly shown us at Pentecost. Let's just have a few minutes of reflection. As we do just that, maybe ponder life and say, you know, where's the Spirit of God saying, open up or change or move where we're stuck? Just have a few minutes quiet. There's a couple of slides, one of the fruit of the Spirit and one of, after that, a prayer to share in. But let's just have a few minutes to reflect. Firstly, they're on the screen, so you can look at them to remind yourself. But the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, as it's put in Galatians. Maybe just think about those nine aspects of the character of Christ that God's Spirit is always about producing in our lives. A moment's quiet as we ponder those dimensions of the Spirit's universal, constant work in human life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Where is the Spirit of God at work in us to grow more of this fruit of the Spirit?